So, yeah, it's Black History Month, or you know, or whatever. And the reason I say or whatever is it still feels like an institution that is very forced on the world, and nobody really gives a fuck outside of us. But you know, I was really excited to sit down. You know, first week of Black History Month. You know, view some fine television, a movie perhaps.
Oh no.
Featuring a black actor.
Oh no.
And then unfortunately my nigga Denzel laid an egg. I sent you that picture of Washington football team, Donovan McNabb. And that's what Denzel was in this movie, The Little Things. Boy, listen, this movie was some shit, dog.
Listen, man. From the moment I seen the trailers, him, Rami Malek, Jared Leto, I was like, oh, three great actors. The plot seems pretty solid from the trailer. This has got to be a banger. So I couldn't wait for it to finally drop. I haven't seen it yet, but to hear you slander and to see Twitter just have an absolute ball.
Eviscerated. Bruh, it's just... It's one of them fucking movies, bro, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Jared Leto and Rami Malek. Shout-out to the white boys. They did well, and Denzel was cool. He was all right, but it's just, bro, it's just a movie where it feels like nothing happens. Like, you wait so long for that climax, you wait for that bitch to pick up, and then it just never does. And it's just like, all right, that was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Now go on with your day. Happy Black History Month.
That's unfortunate. We're gonna put this on the writers. We can't call Denzel washed on the first day of Black History Month of a. Is this technically the new decade, or was that last year? Was it technically the beginning of the new decade?
Nigga, I don't know.
Either way, this is not the decade where we're gonna hang Denzel up on.
Correct. Line. He did play Malcolm X. You know, that brother starving. Speaking of, have you seen One Night in Miami?
I've not seen that yet either. I am slacking on my black movies this month.
One Night in Miami was very good. Shout out to
I have seen
Regina
One Night
King.
In Paris.
I mean, unrelated. Haven't we all? Shit, I saw One Night in China. So,
oh, that's even a thing?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna out myself and say what China films I have seen. I don't remember that one being on the list. But
yeah, no, it was X-Pac in China. It was fun stuff.
Shout out to
Sean Walton, man. Listen, you know we are a Sushio gang if there ever was one. So you want to talk about some depraved shit? I've probably seen it.
Let's get back to Black Excellence and not.
Yeah. Black Excellence. That Black Excellence. Sure. So, One Night in Miami, Regina King. Just so wonderfully directed, because that movie is there's not a lot of locations. It's not like, you know, scene to scene to scene to scene to scene, location to location, location to location. The majority, 80% of the film takes place in one hotel room. Conversation between, you know, Jim Brown, the God, the whole God, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali on the night that he beat Sonny Liston to win a world heavyweight championship. And, you know, like, the movie was exceptional. I really shout out to Aldis Hodge, who played Jim Brown. He was hilarious as fuck. Leslie Odom Jr. just got already getting some nominations for his Sam Cooke portrayal. The young brother who I never heard of who played Muhammad Ali, shout out to him too. Malcolm X, though, this is the first time in my life, and I'm gonna let you see it, but it's the first time in my life that I've ever seen Malcolm Little, Detroit Red, portrayed as a Herb.
That man was one of the most gangster niggas of all time.
From
his Pippin days to his Nation of Islam days, that man was a G.
Big Herb energy, bro. I don't know if that was the point or if it was the actor, because the actor was giving me a lot more Drake than he was Malcolm X.
Well, I mean, I could argue that Drake and Malcolm X are pretty much the same person. We'll say that for a different pod.
Where's Certified Lover Boy, Wes? Where is it?
Listen, Like your favorite athletes, when they get injured, you can't just rush them back and expect them to be 100% and deliver right away. They give him time to rehab. You know what I'm saying? He's got to go down and work with Dr. James Andrews. And when the good doctor clears him, CLB will be on the way.
Too busy grooming the next teen star.
So another Black History news. I can't wait till we get the invite to the estate, and I'm gonna play this portion back, and every little portion we just played to my dog.
Our version of the Rock brunch, the Drake brunch, is gonna be me, you, Drewski, Odell Beckham, who else? Chubbs,
Tez. So Tez on the 30. But yes, and then me and Drake gonna 3D you through a table after I snitch on you to get ahead.
Oh man! Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. That's a fun little start we got here. To episode again, I don't keep track of these numbers anymore because
I had to double check. This is 42, like Jackie Robb or Mo Rivera.
42, okay. Because we are entering year two of a Panasonic, of a Panamera, of a Panda Planner. So that's the only thing that I really keep track with. Everything else just kind of just runs together. It all just kind of blends. Like, you remember that movie Biker Boys? Remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when them niggas would like get into the zone? They would like pop a perky and like get tunnel vision and shit. That's how life feels. It's like everything's just a big ass blur. So yeah, I guess it's episode 42. Welcome back, niggas and niggettes. And non-gendered versions of niggas as well. Welcome back to you two. Because we are, in case you forgot, the world's most inclusive and diverse podcast. And that's very important to celebrate. We celebrate diversity during Black History Month because we are Beware the Ills.
Of course. We were so inclusive, we had to pull up on one of the homies for his views, for his intolerant views not too long ago.
Which homie was that?
Cole in the chat.
Oh.
So we're really living this world's most inclusive podcast shit out here.
Yes. See, Cole. Shout out to Cole, man.
My God.
That's a funny nigga. But yes, so Beware the Ills. We are here at Uptown Ace Boogie at Ain't That Wiz, your illustrious host. And not even gonna give you the whole spiel about taking breaks because you know that's just what we do at this point. So you either with us or you against us at this point. What side of history do you want to be on?
That's exactly what it is. You know what it is. You can see us for us. Thank you. If not, well, you knew what it was when you signed up. Damn it.
Yes, sir. We have never pretended to be anything that we are not. We put ourselves out there in the open, and we let you make the choice.
We're not showing up to the dates with nice button-ups and Chelsea boots. We're showing up in white tees and slides, so you don't ever get it twisted about what you're about to enter into.
And don't you ever get it fucked up. So, so we got, of course, it's a lot of fun things to discuss that have taken place in the last week or two in the zeitgeist. I don't even know exactly where to start, what direction we want to start in during Black History Month.
First and foremost, Happy New Year, brother. This is our first episode of the new year.
Damn, that's our first episode of the new year. Damn, so we missed the insurrection and all that shit.
I was watching Olympus Has Fallen earlier. Movie with the...
Banger. The first one, right?
Yeah. Gerard Butler.
Yeah, that's a banger.
White House gets taken over. And I was like, this is a wild-ass movie. And I was like, wait a minute. This shit just happened.
Yeah, dead ass.
And it's largely kind of forgotten about. Which is wild.
So much, and you know, so much bullshit has obviously spun off of that. Normally, when we talk about spinoffs, we talk about Marvel movies and The Mandalorian and shit, not a spinoff of insurrection in the capital of the United States, which has led to. I ain't really been paying no attention to it. What is it? Why are right wing dillbags calling AOC Alexandra Ocasio Smollett?
One, that's a fucking incredible name. I'd be fronting if I said it wasn't fire. But they're saying that she said she was in the Capitol when it happened, but I think she was in a different portion of the Capitol that wasn't really getting attacked at the time. So they're using that to say, oh, well, she's front, blah, 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 blah. But
okay, all right. So AOC capped a little bit in her raps. That's what you got to do to get credibility. The fuck?
She's fine, so she can do literally whatever she wants, in my eyes. Two, it doesn't matter, nigga. Her friends and family is about to get killed, that motherfucker. Because of y'all.
Listen, we talked about it. We don't want our rappers to tell the truth. We don't want them to live the lives that they talk about, because that's how they die early. We don't want that, okay? Do you really think Future drinks that much promethazine? It's not possible. It's not possible.
Use a different example, but yes, you're right.
I truly don't think he does.
No, he doesn't.
I'm being honest. He just taps in to all the time. Honestly, this is about to be a wild comparison, but you know, we've been off for a while, so why don't we come back with some heavy hitters?
Go ahead.
Future is to toxic niggas what Trump is to, like, the right wing white trash. And
yeah,
I say
that's,
that,
that's fair. I get it.
And I said it because obviously, like, Trump's a horrible person. Like, sure, he's a horrible person. Sure, he's racist. Sure, he, like, only truly gives a fuck about himself. But all he does is play in to what that core audience believes, right? And he just turns it up to 15 to get that group on his side and to literally become his fans. He probably does not give a fuck about 99% of the shit that he preaches. But he knows that if he plays that crowd, that they're going to love him for life. And I think Future does the same thing. I definitely think Future drinks some lean. I think Future has sold some drugs. But for the most part, like, he knows if he plays into that, that toxic niggas are going to stand him. And it works.
Yeah,
it works.
That's a fair assessment. When I first heard Trump, I didn't know where we were going to go with that. But that's that's pretty fair, yes. And they each have a hardcore fan base who rides with them and believes kind of everything what they say, including myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Future. All right, Future. Make Atlanta great again, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of Atlanta, are you going to the All-Star Day festivities in Atlanta?
Me, LeBron, niggas in the skills challenge. I imagine they'll have some sort of performer who's not really in tune with the rap culture. Probably a nigga like Russ.
I wish we could get Common back. I really do.
Man, that's what we need. Russ Common. Remember here they had the fucking, was it the Police? No, it was Sting. Remember Sting did an All-Star game one year?
Man, hell no. I don't remember that shit.
You don't remember that shit? That shit was gone.
So Sting rappelled down from the Raptors did I be missing you?
Yes. He showed up with a bat. and all the crowd had on NWO shirts. But yeah, Sting did all those set. I was...
That's wild.
Yeah, they'd be wild with their choices from time to time.
As long as it wasn't Eric Clapton, that motherfucker can rot in hell.
What's the beef with Clapton?
Oh, man, that nigga is big racist, bro. As fuck. Like, racist. Like,
have you heard him play the guitar, though?
like, not even, like, normal, like Joe Biden era racist. Like, I'm talking, like, nigga said that, like, he didn't want, like, black people in Britain. They don't belong here. This is a white person's country.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Tears in heaven. Cocaine.
So you mean to tell me you are comfortable supporting an old white man who would have prevented Giggs' rise to power? We would have never gotten that verse on KMT if Eric Clapton's Britain was a real thing.
They don't have studios, and I don't know where Giggs' people are from. Jamaica, Nigeria, and all the studios there. He gonna send his verse through email. Well, I said, like we've discussed on the podcast many times before. We kind of pick and choose who we allow our problematics from. Clapton is right now. He's good in my book for now until I do some more research.
All right. You gonna see, nigga. You gonna see. I forgot. Wow, we got very far off topic. Where were we going? What was we talking about?
We're talking about Black History Month. Talking about a couple movies.
We was about to go somewhere because I said I couldn't figure out where to start. Oh, you know what? Let's start with let's take it from 10 op. Start a bitch from 10 op.
Sure.
We talked about it and we gave the preview. Ashanti versus Keisha Cole, the recap.
How we got there, but yes, the world's most the only thing that he had to wait longer for than a new where the L's episode was this battle to actually fucking go down and happen.
You know, I felt a lot of different things during that versus battle, particularly.
Well, before we even get to the actual battle,
yeah.
For me, the anticipation had completely worn off.
Oh, it's like, gone.
By the time the actual battle started, I think one of you guys talked about it in one of the group chats, and I had literally forgotten that the battle was supposed to go down on the night it was supposed to go down.
Yep. Apparently, Keisha Cole forgot too.
Show me.
I just listen, you know, of course you want to be annoyed that Keisha showed up an hour late, right? Almost hour and a half, damn near. You want to be annoyed that she pulled up and was just like, all right, I'm here. Didn't apologize to nobody. Didn't apologize to Ashanti. Didn't apologize to the fans. You want to be annoyed that she showed up late. Didn't apologize to nobody. And then said, okay, yeah, Ashanti, you going first. Excuse me? But at the same time, it's so on brand.
I was gonna say,
it's so fucking on brand.
Who's gonna check her, boo?
It's very Keisha, man. And again, this was the versus battle of like the fake bougie women versus the bitter, brokenhearted baby mama hood rats. And that's what we got. That's exactly what we got. So, you know, the only thing that I really could have lived without, I could have lived without the singing. I didn't need either of them to sing, but particularly Keisha, because as we know, she get a little off key from time to time.
You use your public platform to do all that. but yes, they could have gone without the singing. Both ladies look beautiful.
Absolutely. It's sponsored by the heinous combo of Doritos and Ciroc.
If anybody is seen consuming both those at the same time, needs to be placed under the jail or in Guantanamo Bay.
And because of Doritos, we got the privilege, because of the Doritos fan pick, we heard Play Your Cards Right 4 times. and I can't remember what Ashanti's song was, but overall, man, it really was. I still feel like song choice-wise, it lived up to expectations. I don't know. I feel like Keisha could have won, but she gassed out. Like
she didn't play my favorite joint from her, but
she didn't.
It started out kind of Keisha kind of just running shit for a while.
She was doing too much though.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing too much.
Like going in, we knew Ashanti had more than enough to win.
Yep.
The thought was kind of Keisha would keep it interesting for a good long while, more so than mm-hmm. people would expect, but Ashanti would come out, and that's exactly what we got.
Mm-hmm. But you know, so I had Keisha up early, and it wasn't even like Ashanti was playing, she wasn't playing bullshit, but like, you know, Keisha played, she just played better music early on, but she also ran through way too many heavy hitters in the top half. And like, bro, she is really going to gas out. It's like when you're watching like a track meet and like, you know that somebody going to get caught on the last turn of the 400. That was that, essentially. But she did give us the privilege, though, of playing, you know, arguably the greatest song ever made last night. And Give It Up to Me, featuring the one, the only Sean DePaul. So that makes everybody a winner in my book.
Let's see, we got COT Genesis come out.
And perform, we did get COT Genesis first, come out.
Of love. It was a good night to, after all the waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
The anticipation, it turned out to be pretty much what we expected it to be. It was pretty good, a good versus battle.
It was. So, I mean, I don't know what the next one is. I know I saw they was trying to get that UGK versus A-Ball and MJG going, which we know UGK will win, but A-Ball and MJG could keep it interesting for a while. And it was one more. The hypothetical Travis Scott future battle, which we found out was a lie. But that's not a good idea. It wasn't a good idea when we did it in JR's basement, and it's not a good idea now.
Don't make no damn sense.
I love Travis Scott.
So the versus audience is all black, so Travis is not going to do well against that.
Yeah, nah, and you know I love me some Trav, but that just bitch don't get too comfortable.
Future like so much,
and I stand behind the fact that there's no current artist. Obviously, take Hove out of it. I still don't really consider him a current artist. He's kind of in his own class. There's no current artist that can beat Future other than Drake, and I truly stand behind that.
Yeah, I guess not current. I would say current would come in like from the blog era moving forward. Like current? And yeah, I would say no.
Yeah, I'd say so. Definitely ain't J. Cole.
you mean to tell me J. Cole can't hang with Future in the 20 song verses, rapping about how he didn't make the basketball team?
Yeah. Crooked Smile versus Karate Chop gonna go crazy.
Oh boy.
I still we talk about J. Cole a lot. I still really respect the man's talent, but there's just some part of me in my soul that just does not feel the same way about J. Cole as I did when I was 19. And half of Kent went to the J. Cole concert at House of Blues in Cleveland. It just is not the same, bro. And I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it.
I don't know, because I was an early, I was kind of with J. Cole for a while early on, but then it kind of fell off, and I really can't really point to any reason why. It's not like he's not rapping, he's not like become a worse rapper. He hasn't.
No, it's actually gotten better.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but
yeah.
So you're telling me, when King Kunta plays, that March Madness is going to be King Kunta?
I got a bone to pick. Hey, man, listen. I really need Kendrick to drop some shit, because he's been catching a lot of strays in the last couple years, and it's because he's not putting no music out. Right. So that's how niggas get bold and start talking wild shit. Like, oh, you know, man, if they went bar for bar, but you know, Big Sean ain't too far behind him. That's what happens when you don't drop no music.
You want to talk about argument that I want? There's no fucking parts of.
Oh man, yeah. I feel like the verses was It was a really good musical, just a musical moment in this year, because we haven't gotten too many releases so far in 2021. Who dropped outside of Dirk Deluxe so far?
Real quick, all I know is by the time you hear this podcast, Shiesty season will be out. So you can go get your Pooh Shiesty on.
Yes, it will.
Dolph dropped the Deluxe. Currency dropped.
I mean, we always talk about, like, not having enough time to consume music. We've had plenty of time in the first, you know, month and a half of 2021, and we ain't really gotten, you know, too much of anything on the music side, per se. But what we have gotten, we've gotten plenty of challenges, though. Music-related challenges.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I'm gonna ask you straight out the gate. You busted challenge or silhouette challenge? Which one did you prefer?
Yes.
correct.
Yes, either or. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a picky man myself. I'm just a man, like a simple man, like simple things. And when I can see women glow up and then swing them hips, or where I can see women relax and then be transported into a dark room and swing that body, I'm a fan of either one. Those are probably two greatest things we've had come out of 2021 at this point.
I would say so. Shout out to Jordan Woods. Just shout out to Jordan Woods. There were so many good ones. I did not watch Chloe Bailey's because I look at her as a child. But a lot of people seemed happy with that one.
Yes.
As well. Also, real quick, man, whoever's on the internet slandering that sweet, sweet little girl, me and you gonna have a fucking problem, okay? That little girl ain't doing shit but growing up and becoming confident in herself and her body and her sexuality, and she has the motherfucking right to do that, okay? Don't nobody want to hear none of these misogynist-ass niggas or none of these hating assholes on the internet sitting here talking about, she just doing shit for attention. They just doing shit for attention. And even if she was, so the fuck what? She has a lot more money than you, and Beyonce loves her.
And that's two things that these hoes want. Money and the love of Beyonce. Yeah, exactly. I'm a big proponent of mind your own business. So yes, when it comes to her, I will not be minding my own business. I will be following her moves, and I'm glad to see she joined Instagram doing the damn thing as well as her sister. Good for them. But yeah, those challenges have swept the internet.
Yeah, and,
those are probably my second and third favorite thing to come from the challenge wise. My favorite challenge is, have you seen the strong shorty, the gymnast on TikTok?
Yes.
She be hitting the dances and niggas be reacting to those.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite thing I've seen.
That's a good one.
Challenge wise.
No, that's a good one. You know, it's these challenges though, one thing that it does bring out, you know, it definitely brings out like the camaraderie between, you know, women and everything. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's just nice to look at. You know, yeah. you just all hours of the day and night, just put your hand on my. Just whenever. Just whenever the fuck you feel like it. But like, it brings out the worst. And it's like, for me, man, I've struggled a lot with social media lately, mostly because of all the political shit. And it's just so much fucking hate, man. And we talked about numerous times about, you know, taking breaks and being able to unplug and disconnect and take care of your mentals, take care of your chickens. You feel me? Like, all that shit. But I've had a particularly tough time with it lately. And it's just like, it's so shitty, man, for that to be on one side of the internet. And then you come over to our side of the internet, Black Twitter, and you got women hating on women. You got niggas being misogynist. You got people saying wild ass shit like Blackish isn't funny. Or I don't like it because it's not relatable. They be doing too much. Like, you could relate any better to fucking Fresh Prince. The fuck out of here.
One thing that, you know, might have been spurred on by Anthony Anderson talking a little bit crazy.
You said what?
So that might have been spurred on the Blackish point by Anthony Anderson talking a little bit crazy. I think he said Blackish was a top five black sitcom of all time.
That's not that. Listen, generational shit. To us, it's not. But to somebody, to a Gen Zer, it should be. No. They grew up with it.
No.
Come on, man.
You can say top five, and you need to qualify it. Like, that'd be like me saying, yo, Brad Beal is a top 10 all-time NBA player.
No. Blackish is a historical show with a great cast.
Yeah.
And it deserves its praise. It deserves to be talked about amongst the elites. Maybe not our elites, but I respect the fucking opinion.
I get where it's coming from. I need a little bit more qualifiers.
Okay. All right, nigga. You know, let's not get into another discussion of NBA's greatest players again. Because your boy Brody is tumbling on that list for me.
I don't see how he could fall even further than where you had him. So he was, you said Ramon Sessions, Russell Westbrook,
DJ Augustine,
DJ Watson were all the same players. I think that's pretty much what you said.
But just back to the point, you come back to our side of the internet and you just see there's so much bullshit. There's so much bullshit, and it's like, that's gonna happen. There's always gonna be infighting within the communities, but like, there is no, like, amongst a social media, there's still not enough unity for me. not during Black History Month, not during a pandemic, not during a time where our blackness and our lives are constantly attacked. And it's just like, again, you know, all the shit that people claim and they swear up and down that they do or they don't do. But when it comes down to it, their views always speak for themselves. Always. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but like when you get on social media and you openly criticize Chloe Bailey for doing a busted challenge, you openly criticize Megan Thee Stallion as if she did anything to fucking Tory Lanez. I understand that the situation is tiring, but the situation is tiring because of fucking Tory Lanez. That's it. Meg ain't really did shit, but explain her story after holding it in for 6-7 months, and it only comes up when people bring it to her. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And like shit like that, man, it's like people can't wait to attack. People can't wait to be divisive, and that shit really, really fucking bothers me, bro.
Well, I feel like that you have to wisen up and become more realistic on what people on the internet are. I feel like you're still holding out hope that there's some type of good in people, whereas I have completely accepted that everybody sucks. The general population, especially on Al Gore's internet,
yeah,
are out here for no good and very self-centered, just general haters in general. So once you get a once you kind of join the dark side, I think I've encouraged you to join the dark side on a recent episode. Man. Once you go ahead and join the dark side and figure that out, then you'll be a lot more, you'll have a lot more enjoyable internet experience.
Oh, speaking of, topic synergy, Megan Thee Stallion, busted challenge. So I wasn't aware that the girl who made the busted song is Megan Thee Stallion's clone. Erica Banks, have you seen her or heard her before?
No, I had no idea who sung the song. This is my first time hearing about it.
Yeah, so she, I remember a while ago, like, you know, pre-pandemic, there was her ex-management who she had a falling out with. They basically got a new girl to try to just make her into Meg. Just like, hey, like, you're new Meg, essentially.
Oh, is this Stone Crawford now? Or this is,
I'm not sure if it was a manager or if it's Carl Crawford and them, but either way, they got literally a girl, a thick brown skinned girl from Houston, and was like, "Hey, you gonna be Meg?" And like, I've seen like smatterings of shit of them like basically wearing the same outfits, like stealing her whole flow, Soulja Boy voice, like whole flow, whole song concepts, whole like hot girl energy, but at the same time like blowing down on her. Which I'm sure, obviously, her management told her to do, but like, it's just some real whack shit. And then you know, you get everybody doing this challenge, and then you realize, damn, well, this Megan clone, this niggas putting money directly in her pocket. We don't want to do that, but I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I love me some Meg. I'm gonna keep it a buckarooski. But like, I don't know. This game, man, it's about the game. This game don't love nobody, bro.
Nah.
Like, nobody. It don't love us. It don't love the celebrities. It don't love fucking nobody. I feel a lot of times nobody wins in the end.
Yes, correct.
Except like Elon Musk or something. He doesn't lose.
Yeah, that's how it always goes. The people with the most money are gonna win regardless. And it's really on everybody else to kind of have their ups and have their most notorious of their downs.
Yeah,
like I said, you just gotta join this cynical gang, bro.
I know. I've spent a lot of my adult life being cynical as fuck, but like I feel like I try to suppress my negativity in order to keep my mental in a good place. But man, it'd be hard to,
see,
bro.
That's the difference. See, me, we're talking now. We're getting to some nice, good shit. I am extremely cynical, but I'm very positive because I've already accepted the cynicism is already going to happen. So I'm looking at that glass, not like it's half empty. That glass ain't even fucking there, bro.
Yeah, so, about to say, like that bitch is in shards.
Yeah, that glass, on the ground. That glass on the table. So, and if I turn around and say, you know, oh shit, there is the glass is half full. You know, that's a good look right there, bro. So you got to, it's going to take a lot of ENJ, a lot of Milagro. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
A lot of forbidden fruit.
A lot of Milagro.
To get to this level of,
man, you know, I'm trying to get like you. Also, sign up. You know, we always offer some fun shit. Wesley's life coach classes are available. You can sign up. Link in the bio of the Twitter account. If you want to learn how to be a nigga, how to disassociate, mm-hmm. how to live your life with cynic positivity, mm-hmm. How to be a sucio derelict. And how to support historically white universities. Mm-hmm. Sign up.
It's a nice, depending on your funds, we can either do a single day, that'll be probably about an 8-hour training course, or we can break it down to a couple hours a week, depending on your schedule. We can make it happen. I'll let you come aboard and you'll figure out how to be a positive cynic like your boy.
Oh, man. You know, honestly, since, you know, Wes and I became friends somewhere around 10 years ago now, Jesus Christ.
It's disgusting when you say it. What do you think about it, man? We old as hell. It's just not cool.
Since Wes and I became friends 10 years ago, I will say that there has never been a moment where I've been in a room with Wes, and no matter how, like, negative or how down bad the situation truly was, I've never allowed myself to feel it. All right. So, like, this nigga can keep the energy in any room afloat. Usually it got something to do with some Chief Keef bars. Get well soon, Sosa.
Please.
Or some ENJ. But Wes will get you together, man. And I know we don't say this shit enough. I'm always on this podcast disparaging you because a lot of times you deserve it. But you my nigga, bro. I appreciate you.
For sure, brother. No, I'm here for you and anybody else, man. I try to be as level as possible. But next thing you know, I don't know. I might switch it up and get a nice little, maybe, I don't know, $800 diamond in my forehead. Who knows?
$800 diamonds in your forehead.
Or $800 cubic zirconia in my forehead.
Cubic zirconia. So, Lil Uzithin, vertical. This nigga really think he Vision. Like, hey, we love WandaVision too, but like, I'm not about to move to Westview. You feel me? Like, this nigga got a whole ass pink diamond in his forehead that looks awful, by the way.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, a couple months ago, Sauce Walker got a little diamond.
Sauce Walker. Yep.
On his, I guess, upper cheek area.
And it got infected, and he had to take it out.
And then that looks stupid, too. But Uzi's, I'm not a big fan of kind of the whole, like, tattoos on your face. So to put a whole fucking diamond in the middle of your forehead, it's not a go, Uzi. And
I'm not a fan of embedding things in your body. And it's so funny, because the same niggas who won't get a vaccine because you think that the government is going to put a microchip in you by getting a vaccine, it's the same niggas that put diamonds in their foreheads.
Yeah. It's the irony. But yeah, it's weird. I will say that. It's been a tough time for Uzi and Meek. It's not looking good for my guys.
Oh, God. What did Meek do now? Because I unfollowed him on Twitter finally after roughly 9 years of nonsense. What'd he do this time?
Nothing recently. Just his run of shenanigans.
I did see somebody on Twitter say, with the failures of Meek and Uzi, we really need to re-examine the Philadelphia school district.
Yeah, it's not looking good for my guys.
I don't know. This is some shit that I feel like maybe when I was a little younger, I could have gotten behind. Like, you know, like some Dave Chappelle, like, you know, oh, I put diamonds on everything I eat. It makes my doodle twinkle. And it's the most ballin' shit you can do. Like, there was some Austin in life. Maybe it was the Austin that was, you know, drinking Amsterdam and eating Prentice wraps every day. Maybe that Austin could have gotten behind it. But as I now press forward towards the ripe old age of 30, and you not too far behind me, you old ass nigga.
Extremely uncalled for.
What day is your birthday?
21st.
So everybody make sure you cash app my nigga Wes money, give him some funds so he can buy some Rillos. You know.
yes, and if you want to send me something in the physical mail, you probably should get it now. I don't know if my dog, what's his name? DeJoy. I don't know if he's got the mails still delayed like it was. But you got not about 2 weeks and a half to give me some shit
Or if you really want to have a good time, invite Wes to your home and let him throw up on your blinds.
Yeah. It's 10 years ago. Just get over it. Like, boom, 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 on a super bad set 10 years ago, man.
People don't forget.
I got the game on in the background, and Kelly Oubre has 40 points, and Golden State's beating the shit out of Dallas, and I don't like it.
Dallas stinks on ice. Man. Luka, that Knicks pick's looking real good.
Luka was my pick for MVP.
Are you kidding me?
One of my group chats. Hell yeah! He had the narrative. He's white. I thought they'd be like a four seed, and he'd be average close to a triple double, and he's white, so they might give it to him.
Sorry, that title belongs to the MVP is Joel Embiid.
It's not him either.
Ortiz. Yeah.
But I did end up, so. Actually, I did bet though. I bet a nice little 50 to win 950 on Jokic after like the first 5 games of the season.
Shout out to Jokic. That is my nigga. That is my big girl. Slow nigga.
Yes, that's literally my second behind my Laker boys. I watch the Nuggets all the time. Jokic's so love cool. He's so cool, man.
Love him. I mean, Dallas, unfortunately, not everybody can be the baby Cavs, the most exciting team in basketball. You know, but hey.
I don't know. Do you know what exciting means?
Yeah. So exciting isn't having Jared Allen and Andre Drummond on the floor at the same time? That's not exciting?
I mean, if you're into just
BDSM?
1980s basketball. Yeah. I remember when we used to have 2 7-footers play at the same time. Ugh.
Oh boy.
Back when gas was $1.50, Jimmy Carter ass nigga. but yes. In the sports realm, yo, guess what? This Super Bowl this weekend, bro. What's up?
I don't care. And honestly, bro, I am. You know, during Black History Month, I am appalled. And I am disgusted that you would actually spend a 5 to 6 hours during, you know, on a Sunday, supposedly the holiest of days, during Black History Month, watching the white men. Cradle us along like castanets and throw pigskins around a white man's field while we profit off of nothing, while Colin Kaepernick is still out of the league, while our brothers and sisters are dying in the streets every day for what? For some personal enjoyment? What, for capitalism, nigga?
My brother.
I thought you were better than this.
My brother. Listen, I am watching the American football programming for my good brother Eric Bieniemy and my good brothers Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles to see them succeed while playing, also rooting for my the octoroon Patrick Mahomes and his success against the white man. That's what I'll be rooting for, my brother.
You know, it's funny. Either Eric Bieniemy or Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles is going to win a Super Bowl and probably end up go back to being a position coach next season. So there you go. Fuck the NFL. Fuck down with the patriarchy.
I hear none of this when Mr. Commercials was doing his damn thing.
Listen, if you didn't know. Baker Mayfield played in college with a number of black people who will vouch for him as an ally to our community.
Y'all Browns are funny.
I don't think I'm going to watch the Super Bowl other than the weekend's performance. I'm irrationally upset. It's weird because I wasn't even that upset right when the Browns lost, but as time went on, I'm like, wow, this shit sucks. I don't care to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl. and the Chiefs. I ain't got no problem. I ain't got no beef with them, but I'm just not interested. So I'm probably gonna spend Sunday. I don't know, Macroman, maybe. You know, sucking the last few hours of juice out of Flash Player before it deactivates forever. I spend some time doing that. You know, just taking it, truly taking advantage of my time, trying to enjoy my weekend.
So yeah, having a good old fashioned Sunday. It's just like our fathers and our fathers before that. But I will be watching the Super Bowl, if nothing other than I want to get into some of these prop bets.
Oh yeah, prop bets.
It's gonna be my first year, like truly betting on stuff. So I figure I might.
Shout out to my bookie that I'm still not willing to put any real money towards.
I gotta re-up. I finally kind of dwindled down on my money, so I need to re-up before the weekend.
You're a fucking degenerate.
Not really. I started with now we're getting inside West Bets.
All right, Hammer and Hank.
We're in the West Bets subreddit right now. But yeah, so I put initial 50. My highest high, I was up in like the 250, 260 range.
Wow.
Off that
250. Did you cash out?
Did not cash out.
Why?
I'm trying to bet big, player.
What I do personally, and I have not played FanDuel in a while. I'm proud of myself. I've been back on the wagon, but I will if I get up to a decent amount in my account. You know, you get up to $200+ range, I'll take out half and then play with the other half. So just to make sure I'm not losing shit.
True.
That's how you did that.
I didn't do that. Okay. So yeah, I kind of went on a losing streak, and then I put that 50 on Jokic, and then just kind of slowly dwindled down, which is missing shit by one. I usually do a bunch of like parlays, try to win the big money, and I usually miss it by one, maybe two from time to time.
I love a good parlay. All you gotta do is get lucky. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And I feel like every time I do one, I'm like, you know, this has to be right, like. This can't go wrong. I don't know why they're offering this odds. I feel like I'm stealing money. I'm not. Vegas is a motherfucker. Right. They know everything. It's
yes, they do. Yeah. It's quite scary. Honestly, Vegas got Sam Cook killed.
Yeah, Vegas done a lot of shit for real.
Yeah.
Shout out to Vegas, I guess.
Something like that.
You want Vegas on your head?
It's still waiting on our peer pressure trip to Vegas where we lose Adrian like the hangover.
How are we gonna lose Adrian when this motherfucker's gonna be some club we can't get into calling us all types of spades and
shout out to the squad, man. Miss y'all niggas, man. Soon, hopefully, maybe.
And it's just Panera Bird's never gonna end, so I don't know when I'll see y'all again.
Yeah, I don't know. We were trying to peer pressure Wes into coming up a couple weeks ago, and this nigga just sent us statistics from the Ohio CDC.
Y'all think I'm not paying attention? I know what the hell going on, because I want to be in Buckham State just as much as you boys want me in the Buck.
Yeah. and admittedly, like, I love y'all niggas, but like, I'm not trying to sit like in Adrian's living room with y'all for 2 days.
Yeah,
you know, if we can't go to Smoked on High, if we can't go to XO, we can't go to Avalon, if we can't hit High Street, can't go to, oh God, what's the spot on High Street? Not the spot on High Street. The spot where we went to end the night the last time we was there.
The first time.
It had the upstairs and the downstairs.
Nigga, I don't remember names of shit. I'm not from there.
You remember the address, don't you?
410 Columbus, Ohio. Yes. I remember Meester's. That's all I remember. I remember
shout out to Meester's.
Our escaped lynching at Meester's.
Oh my goodness. Hey, listen, thank God for Steve Gutenberg, or man, we wouldn't have made that alive.
Control, thank you for being bad at that time to distract everybody.
Yeah, what was we talking about? I don't know. We ain't been on in a while, so we all over the fucking place.
This is fun. I like the randomness of it. talk about sports and another thing, sports. I'm back in on wrestling, at least for the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And we just had a big event recently.
Huge one. Got a huge one. So we've been trying to get Wes to re-sign up for the WWE Network, which is headed over to the Cock next month. But, you know, he finally decided, you know, like last month or so, that he was going to sign up, watch some old shit. And he signed up at just the right time to catch the second best event in all the wrestling, the Royal Rumble. And this was a good-ass Rumble, too. You picked a good one to jump back in on.
Me and the Network have a love-hate relationship. I'll hear you guys talk about wrestling and say, you know what, I'm back in. I'll subscribe to the Network.
Love-hate relationship.
Watch it. Sam
me time. What the fuck happened to Sam Dude?
Your guess is as good as mine. But so I'll watch some shit. I'll subscribe to the Network, watch some shit. Then don't watch for a couple weeks and say, what the fuck am I paying $10 for? Then I'll unsubscribe. and I'll repeat that cycle. So now I'm currently on my own cycle, and I got to see the motherfucking Royal Rumble, dog. Shit was fire.
Tremendous event. We got a little bit of everything. We got legends, you feel me? You got, you know, Wes's dad, Rey Mysterio. A lot of Randy Orton. A lot of Jeff Hardy.
I was a proud.
Shout out to my nigga.
I was a proud.
Shout out to my nigga Carlito.
Yeah, Carlito was back. Christian came back.
Yeah, yes, sir. Christian was almost a bigger surprise than Edge, because I mean we knew Edge was coming back, but Christian been gone for quite a minute. So not gonna lie, when them niggas hugged in the ring and shit, you know, almost had a little grown man tear, man. That was a real moment right there. You feel me?
Yes, it's a blast from the past, for real, for real.
And then there was a lot of ass in the women's Rumble
so
as
much
well.
Ass. It wasn't this much ass when I was watching it back in the day. It was all about the tits. But I'm glad Vince made the call.
Vince saw the light, man. A lot of yeeks, including frozen peanut butter Toni Storm. Mm-mm. Jesus Christ, man. Shit. But most importantly, though, like I said, we saw Edge win the Royal Rumble to go on to WrestleMania and face either Drew McIntyre or the God, the High Chief, Roman Reigns, who is in his fucking bag right now. Remember when we used to hate Roman Reigns like 4 or 5 years ago? That shit's gone. That nigga is the best thing in wrestling. He just decided, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to get some veneers. I'm going to stop wearing a shirt to get these hoes back fucking with me again. And I'm going to just turn into the biggest dickhead you have ever seen. And it is working. It's working.
That Paul Heyman effect, bro.
Yeah, man, for sure. But most importantly, to kick off Black History Month, we got the one, the only Bianca Belair winning the Women's Royal Rumble. And, you know, I don't get too deep into wrestling on this show, but Bianca Belair is a young black woman who's had a documentary about her come out. She's been through a lot in her life, you know, bulimia, all types of depression, suicide attempts, all that, struggle with body image and things like that. And we've known for a little while that WWE was high on her, but winning the Royal Rumble is like literally one of the biggest achievements that you can get. And even though wrestling is scripted or fake, as y'all say, for WWE to get behind you and to, because if it was a real athletic event, she would have won that shit. But for WWE to get behind you and decide that they are going to give you the ball and kind of turn you into one of the faces of the company as a black person, that is a tremendous, tremendous achievement, because they don't fuck with black people unless they have to. So it tells you just like, you know, just how massive her star power is, to the point where it can't be denied. And she became the second black person ever to win the Royal Rumble and the first black woman of all time. So shout out to Bianca Belair. She will headline. She's going to be on billboards at WrestleMania in the one of the biggest events in all the entertainment. And she will most likely be facing Sasha Banks. So that'll be fun.
Oh boy, she gonna throw that Nicki Minaj rap in the goddamn future. Can't wait to see it. No, I'm playing Sasha.
Motherfucker.
Just playing Sasha.
Shout out to Rumble, shout out to that. Shout out to wrestling, fuck football, and the NFL overlords. Sick of y'all. I'm trying to think. What else we got to touch? Oh.
Nasty. Fuck football.
WandaVision.
Yeah. Disney Plus's newest Marvel spinoff.
Yes, from Beautiful Black Woman. Beautiful Black Woman. Shout out to Tiana Paris, first and foremost. Yes. We been on the Tiana Paris way for a long time. Y'all some new niggas, okay?
They did you wrong at SCDP, baby.
So she is one of the stars along with the newest, most famous Olsen sibling, Elizabeth Olsen, and Paul Bettany. Is that the nigga that plays Vision?
Yeah, Bettany Bellamy, some shit like that.
Yeah. But you know, so WandaVision is the first official foray into the Marvel Studios chapter of the MCU. Yeah, we've had like Marvel TV shows before, but they weren't like done in-house by Marvel and they really weren't connected to the greater MCU. This is the first of the shows, you know, starting with that, followed up by Loki. I think the show is just called Loki. And then Bucky and Nigga Bird. And
his name is Striking Vipers.
And then, you know, a bunch of other TV shows to go along with the planned movies. Can they just get fucking Black Witch or whatever the fuck? What's her name? Black Shadow, Black Cat? Black Widow.
So what are you talking about?
Can they just drop that shit on Disney Plus and get it out the way? Nobody cares.
Yeah, she did. she did.
But yeah, go ahead, bro.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, this is it's pretty good. This is what are we, 4 episodes in so far?
Yeah, we're actually halfway through the season, and it's definitely the most ambitious thing that Marvel has done so far. Because, I mean, just from the previews and the synopsis and the trailers and shit, we had no idea what this show was going to be about. For me personally, because, you know, I am, I'm a real cinema TV watcher. You know, I'm very insightful and shit, you feel me? So I figured out what was going on a little bit early on. Maybe y'all slow niggas took a minute to catch up. But we really had no idea until maybe episode 2 really which direction it was going in. Did you know, Wes, that they brought in Dick Van Dyke as a consultant to help with the authenticity of the throwback?
I did not know that, but that makes total sense because them niggas, that shit is very 50s, 60s, and 70s when they get to doing the non-cool shit. But yes. That makes sense.
Shout out to my nigga Herb, though.
Herb, Black Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Herb. What's up, buddy?
Herb wanted to tell, man. I don't know what's up with Herb.
He tried, man.
Herb snitches. But you rocking with snitches now?
Right. Cut my dog off. I heard he's snitching too. We're gonna give y'all spoilers because y'all should have watched this shit by now.
Yeah.
So, basically, this shit picks up like we learn immediately after Endgame. So, if you know,
That's what we got.
Yes. Okay. So literally like seconds after Endgame. In case you forgot, in Avengers, you know, Vision got that Uzi diamond popped out of his forehead.
Yeah, that thing is very much dead.
Yes, dead as fuck. So when you see him, very much so alive, you know, it's kinda odd. That's especially because he died very like that shit was very dramatic. And since he died before the snap, he doesn't come back to life like everybody else. So you see him alive and him and Elizabeth Olsen is living in this, and Scarlet Witch is living in this new town in the 50s. And we got a cameo from Kitty Foreman. Shout out to that 70s show. And all this other shit. And then, but just you start to see little cracks in reality. Like something weird will happen. Like, niggas will get stuck on like a loop or some shit, or they'll try to like break through and, you know, kind of get through to Wanda. And you realize it is because Wanda is arguably the strongest person in the whole MCU. Mm-hmm. Like stronger than Thanos. Regular Thanos, not Infinity Gauntlet Thanos.
Yeah, I saw a tweet talking about it was very sexist against Captain Marvel, but they were calling her the strongest person. But Wanda is right there, and those are like the big three.
Yeah, for sure. Especially like if you start getting in your comic book bag, then you know like Wanda has at times literally fucked up the entire universe. So like she's also Magneto's daughter. So let's throw that out there first. Huh? Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
What? Yeah. So Wanda's Magneto's daughter. She has these ridiculously strong mutant powers. It's like her powers are like Jean Grey mixed with Magneto mixed with goddamn Goku, for real. So like she has the ability to privilege. Yes, and white privilege. So she has the ability to like basically alter reality. She can create things with her mind. She can move things, and all this other shit. So when she goes through in the comics, when she experiences prolonged trauma, she has the ability to project and basically craft an entire world to her, in her liking, to her vision, essentially. So that's what's happening here. Probably the death of Vision has caused her to, you know, start projecting and start creating this wild alternate reality where everything is quote unquote perfect for her, but it's fucked up for everybody else. So for everybody involved, my nigga Jimmy Woo, Kat Dennings, Monica Rambeau, the aforementioned Monica Rambeau, and for all the random missing people that she kidnapped to bring to her reality, shit's going bad. There was one point in the comics where she literally lost her mind. She started like killing Avengers and shit. Like she was just dead, just started killing niggas. She was fucking Captain America Raw. It was a lot going on. And
I was gonna say she get Captain fuck up out of here, but no, she was fucking Raw. And I got no, I'm against Wanda. How about that?
It was a lot of shit going on, and basically she became like almost like this unstoppable villain, kind of like Jean Grey, kind of Phoenix, and not that shitty ass X-Men Dark Phoenix. I'm talking about X-Men 3. You feel me? Talking about the real shit.
That might have been the only X-Men I didn't watch was the Dark Phoenix.
You please don't. It made our baby Sansa look bad.
Sansa, please.
Sansa.
Unrelated. I'm really debating on watching Game of Thrones again.
How can you beat it? How can you not?
I really want to, but I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be too long, and I got other shit to watch. But that was just quick.
Yeah, but But basically, yeah. So we got 4 episodes left. This shit's so litty. They gave us a mid-season trailer for it. So we gonna see, man. We gonna see where this shit goes. But it's definitely gonna pick up. It's just again, just 8 episodes. It looks like Vision is starting to figure out what the fuck's going on. So I wonder if once Vision. Yeah, so once he becomes conscious, will he just, like, disappear or whatever? And also, this will be, they've already stated that Wanda is going to be a huge, huge part of the next saga, phase four. So she's going to be a huge part of phase four. She's also going to be in the Doctor Strange movie, which is going to have also huge implications on the MCU. That might be how we get the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and all the Spider-Mans and shit. So,
I think I need to rewatch Doctor Strange too.
You said what?
I need to rewatch Doctor Strange too. I know that
it took me a minute to rewatch it, but it's pretty solid. It ain't as good as Ant-Man, but
Ant-Man's a true slap.
Yes. So that's that. That's WandaVision. That's what's going on. So it basically is a good time to be a comic book nerd and shit. You know, you got the MCU kicking back off. You got the Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie dropping real soon. So yeah, it's good times. Good times all around. We ain't gonna hold y'all too long this week. Mostly because
it's a new year. We ain't stretch all the way when we're not fully in Empire.
Yeah, we not quite in playing shape as of yet. So before we get out of here, no top five this week, man. Whatever. But Wes does have a Black History figure to discuss.
Yes. Real quick, underappreciated Black history icon. We'll probably get another episode before the end of the month. So I guess we'll do this month.
Maybe.
We might just keep this motherfucker rolling, just Black icons throughout the year, because you niggas need to know about your history.
Real shit.
The Black icon I'm choosing to talk about today is Larry David. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean...
I said Larry does some shit for the folks. But no.
Larry Hoover?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
You talking about Larry Hoover?
I'm not claiming sides. Shout out to all my GDs. Shout out to all my GDKs. my BDs and my BDKs.
Hoover. Hoover.
Let me say, all right, here we go. My Black history icon today is Matthew Henson.
Yeah, okay.
The drip god. If you're not familiar with Matthew Henson, he was a nigger who helped discover the North Pole.
Yes, it was really basically him.
Yeah, he was he accompanied some other nigger, but he was
I don't remember his name, General Admiral Doubleday or some shit.
Don't be throwing the Abster around you little quick slanders. You and I, of course, fuck with the admin.
Yes, as two of the seven Black baseball fans
we gotta sit together
in the world. Yes.
But, so Matthew Henson, he accompanied a guy. He was, like, the lead guy for the bigger name nigga. But he was the main guy who got, like, niggas to North Pole. And he would say, hey, he's Black. What the fuck you doing in that cold weather? Matthew Henson was able to get to North Pole because that nigga would trip the fuck up. If you don't know, just Google Matthew Henson and hit images, and you will see that nigga fly his fucking all of the furs. I can assume minks and ferrets and bear.
Ferrets.
Moose.
Rabbit.
All types of furs you can't even imagine. And this nigga was just a nigga from Maryland, from D.C., who made it to North Pole in like the early 1900s.
Ooh, this nigga was drip. God damn.
I'm telling you, in the images?
Ooh, yeah, bruh.
He was able to make it to the motherfucking North Pole. Got a didn't get the Presidential Medal of Honor, probably because he was Black.
No,
but he got some stupid ass medal that he got from Truman and Eisenhower. That's fucked up. He didn't get no goddamn Presidential Medal. Racism is fucking frustrating.
It is.
But yeah, so he was a Black person who was essentially the first Black person. First person to discover North Pole, and you know kind of all the implications and everything that came with that, but mainly because he was a very fucking fly. As you can tell, once you Google his images, you'll see kind of how fly he was, and he did some shit, some cool shit that was before his time, and doesn't really get acknowledged in our Black heroes or drip gods. So shout out to Matthew Henson.
Shout out to Matthew Henson. I have one as well, an important figure in Black history. I think the idea of this segment is to shed some light as to illuminate some of the more forgotten figures. Like, we could sit up here and talk about, Garrett Morgan and George Washington Carver the God, can't be mailing niggas peanuts. We can do that shit all day. But these are, kind of the forgotten heroes, the people who achieved tremendous things and, have at least started to get lost to history. That's why my important lost Black figure is Memphis Bleek.
See, I almost went the music route, but I knew you was gonna come through.
Memphis Bleek, it is, how hard it is to be a rap hype man, especially a hype man to the greatest rapper of all time. That is not an easy task. And Bleek did it with style and grace. Okay.
Man, wearing, most people say, hey, I wore my hat backwards because of Ken Griffey. No. I fit it backwards because of Making Easy Money, Pimpin' Hoes, and Style Bleek.
Making Money, Easy, Pimpin' Hoes, and Style. It's crazy. I haven't even realized that he dropped his last album in 2005. Like, he only had four albums. Such classics. Obviously, coming of age. Memphis Bleek is. My Hood to Your Hood featuring Beanie Siegel off the first album. That was the one. Is that your chick? The Lost Verses. Come on, man. Like,
Memphis got joints, ladies and gentlemen.
And of course, the title track from Madden NFL 2005. Like that.
That's a fact.
Also, who the fuck Yes. And also, who the fuck has Jay-Z on their album just doing a whole song to himself for somebody else's album? Who does that?
What, Dear Summer.
Yes, Dear Summer.
One of Jay-Z's better songs, too. That's kind of fucked up, man. I want you on my... You the big homie, though. I respect you. But say that for your shit, man. Don't be outshining me on my own album just with your shit.
Marcy F. 534... Or Marcy Houses 534 flushing ass, you feel me? It's also a big deal to be the second greatest person to ever come out of your housing project. That's a big deal too.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, that's it's incredible, especially the specific Marcy Houses. Shout out to Memphis, man. And it was a little unfair to him that Jay-Z said that he's a new improved Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Put the expectations way too high.
Also. Don't forget, though, Hov said he's going to take care of Bleak for the rest of his life. So.
Talk about friends.
There you go. There you go. Now, will Hov follow through?
It's none of our business.
I can just imagine Hov sitting at the kitchen table, Rumi and Sir hanging from his hair. He got the checkbook out. Beyonce asked him, honey, what are you doing? Oh, you know, giving Bleak his monthly, you know, giving Bleak his monthly stipend.
It's the 15th B. You know what that means. Gotta send meth to bread.
But Boy, overall.
but yes, that will be. Jay-Z, you got the Jay-Z will take care of you for your whole career. And he's still technically one hit away. I don't know.
Still.
I don't know if there's an expiration date on that, but he'll forever be one hit away.
Forever, man. Just biggest of shout outs to Bleak. And you know, one day, you know, we still got some theme pods coming. I'm almost done watching The Wire. I'm in season 4 now.
Let's go. I only finished my rewatch in like September.
Hey now.
Another goddamn rewatch.
Definitely one of the theme pods that we want to touch on, man. We want to explore some of hip hop's greatest camps, and we are definitely going to do a Rockefeller pod. That is going to come regardless of when it happens. I like seeing some clips, man, like that, the clip from the Sixers game and them playing What We Do and shit.
Yeah.
It's enough to make a grown man cry, bruh. That was an era.
Man, listen, I think, and I just got to check Cameo, we probably could get a mil. On the pod.
Oh my God, please.
I can't imagine it costs any more than like $200. If that. For a half hour of a meal's time.
But yeah, that's you know, so that's my important figure. And really that's all we got for this week. You know, I guess there's L's of the week. My L of the week goes to America. I mean, and I feel like I do this quite often, but where are STEMIs at, Joe Biden?
That literally was my L of the week. It was gonna be you can ask for the STEMIs. I'm gonna be like, yo, why are the STEMIs aren't 2K?
Yeah. We went from potentially getting 2K on top of the 6 to 6 plus 14 equals 2K to if you make less than $40,000 a year, then you get 2K. To now, we don't fucking know.
It's, if you make under 40, but your last name doesn't end in EZ or hyphen your first name,
it's like moving into Kent when them niggas tell you, hey, letters A through J, last name A through J, move in on Saturday, and M through Z move in on Sunday. Guess what? My name was always right in the second half. So technically, I was supposed to move in on Sunday. But if you thought I was going to miss Welcome Weekend Saturday night, you can suck my dick.
Those were the times. Look at you. That's 10 years ago, old man. Give it up.
I know, man. So I feel similarly right now. Rummy, run us our fucking money. That's all I got to say. You got AOC.
Let's go.
Hold up in bathrooms and shit, and you don't want to give us our stimmies, nigga.
I got a coochie to buy. Come on, Valentine's Day is coming up.
So yeah, that's really it though. That's all I got, man.
What else? We back first episode for 2021. Yes, like we say every year, we're gonna try to be more consistent. And for y'all, our anniversary's coming up. It'll be 3 years sometime next month. I'll say the middle of March.
Oh, wow. We're going to have to do something special. Get a bottle of Prosecco.
Some Andre, you know what I'm saying?
God, not the cold duck. Jesus Christ. We're going to pop something. This would be a great time to go on location to Meester's.
It'll be 10 seconds long. So be help.
Yeah. or the street meat cart outside of XO. Talk about prime location, bruh.
Man, that's some good ass street meat. No pole.
Yeah. for real this month, man. And as always, throughout this terrible pandemic, which is again entering year two. Hold your loved ones close, definitely value yourself, value your loved ones as much as you can. Wear your fucking mask. Don't be out here fucking wilding in the streets. Take care of yourself. Take care of your peoples. Do everything that you can. Take care of your fucking mental health. I know I have been, again, feeling it a lot lately just because the reality of knowing that we've been at this thing for 11 months is kind of difficult. So make sure you take care of that. Take care of your mental health. Go out, but also love and celebrate your black people. And that does not just extend to, random black history facts or watching black movies, man. Show love to everybody. Show love to your brothers and sisters. Show love to, your significant others, your families. Show love to, black trans people, black gay people, whatever. Celebrate us as a unit this fucking month. And don't be like Lil Uzi.
Well, so I couldn't have put it better myself, my man. Beware the L's.
Oh, and fuck Daniel Cameron. That too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about buddy. Yeah, fuck him, bitch ass nigga. Beware the L's. Follow both of us on socials. Follow the podcast page. We're gonna be back with you soon.
Share, subscribe, retweet, tell a friend, hit us up. Holla at us, your boys. We out.
Yep.